Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs can come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Parker, and I'm sure excited that you've decided to join me today. I'm looking forward to yet another episode with another great guest. But before we get started, I just wanted to remind you all to take a moment and go rate and review our podcast. Tell us what you love. Tell us the topics that you're dying to hear from us on. We love to hear your feedback, and make sure that you DM us if you have any input for us, because we want to make this podcast for you. And we can't do that without your feedback. So, okay, on to the fun stuff. Today, we have another episode of This Is Their Story, and our guest will prove to be an energetic and fun guest. I want to welcome Derek Vidal to our podcast today. He is the founder of socialbamboo.com and the host of Social Bamboo Podcast. So Derek, welcome. We are so glad you're here.
I am so glad to be here. I've been loving doing interviews. I've done a few this year, and I always get fired up about these ones that just go into the story behind everything. I think it's always a lot of fun.
Yes, it is. We love this series, and we just love being able to also talk to people and get to hear people's stories and understand, you know, what's working, what's not working, where the struggles are, and how people overcome the struggles, because that's what this is really all about, right? It's a journey, and we're all kind of forging our own path and figuring out our own things about us individually. And it's great to hear the insights of everybody that joins us on this series. So with that, Derek, tell us, like, you know, a little 3-minute snippet of who you are, what you're up to, and kind of a little bit of your background.
So currently the main thing I'm known for, I guess, is the Social Bamboo Podcast. I've been running that for a little bit over 3 years and just came out with the 200th episode. So that's my main focus at the time. Before that, I had roots in e-commerce. And then before that, I did direct sales for 7.5 years. So that was 100% commission based. And that's where I really got a taste of entrepreneurship and realizing that I liked being my own boss and being in a position to have fluctuating income was always really motivating for me, actually. So that's kind of where my entrepreneurial roots started. But yeah, today I mostly just focus on coming out with 2 podcasts a week, helping businesses run their first Instagram ad campaign is what I specialize in. And mostly just looking to focus in on that for a minimum of the next year and just get that as dialed in as possible.
That's great. I love that you're focusing on that. So tell us a little bit. So you were in direct sales. Tell us kind of what in that framework, what got you interested in entrepreneurship and what made you make the decision to finally transfer over and start your own?
Yeah, I think once you get used to working for yourself, like the beginning is really difficult. If you're coming from a job where you're used to, you work this many hours and you get paid this much, or a salary, any kind of just structured pay where even if you go in that day and get no sales, like you're still getting a paycheck. It takes a lot of getting used to of, you know, getting 5 no sales in a day, spending 10 hours to make $0. It takes a while to get used to, but then once you've done enough appointments to realize that it can really, it averages out in your favor over time and you're always getting better and you always have the opportunity to get more income. I think I just loved the equation of life that it brought. Like as soon as I was in a commission-based role, it was like going to the gym makes me more money, because before it was like, it didn't make me more money, like except for maybe being more ambitious to get promoted or something. But I was like, well, now I can get more energy and, you know, more focus from the gym. And then I can apply that into my sales and, you know, get better there. Every book I read increases my income. It was like everything in life was now about just like leveling up. And I think it just made it really fun for me. And I guess I just appreciated the game of it. So once you get used to having some lower paychecks than you're used to, and you kind of just get used to, you know, the roller coaster part of being an entrepreneur, then you just realize that you enjoy the ride. So I think by the time I graduated college, I had been selling for about 2 years at that point. And I had every intention, like, as soon as I graduate, I'm getting my real job. I'm out of here. And they were trying to keep me. They're like, this is a good job. Like, you might want to just stay on and sell full time. I was like, no, like, the whole reason I sold throughout college is just to get some sales experience on my resume so that when I graduate, I can do whatever I want. And then I go to an interview and they'd be like, all right, it looks like you're qualified for the job. You're going to make this much money. You have, like, that's just how much money you make. Like, there's no commission. It's just like, that's your salary. No matter how good you do, that's how much money you make. You're showing up here at 7:30. You're driving a company car with the magnet, like our magnet on the side. And you got to shave your beard. And I was just like, what is going on? I was like, I'm not like shave beard. Deal breaker. Like what? Like, I don't know. I just couldn't even deal with any aspect of control over me at all at that point. It was like, you got to be here at 7:30, like deal breaker. It's not even a matter of like waking up at that time. I was like, unless it's my call, I can't do it anymore. So I was just like, I will work all the time because I want to. So I didn't have like an issue doing that part. And that's, you know, where a lot of people are like, hey, if I don't have to work, if no one's going to get me fired but me, then I guess I got another day off. And I definitely give myself plenty of time off. I really do. But I guess I just enjoy it enough that enough work gets done. And I was just so used to working on my own schedule that I was like, all right, I'm just going to stay here. And then I sold that product for another 5 years after I had graduated college, even though I had every intention of using my bachelor's degree for what I intended to use it for since I was in kindergarten, was all scrapped from just a couple of job interviews when I was out. And I realized, you know, that I wasn't willing to give up the freedoms that I had gotten used to.
Okay, so it's safe to say that really what drove you was that you wanted to really kind of make your own decisions, control your own, you know, destiny, your own day and your own time. I think that's we hear that a lot from entrepreneurs, right? And you get that from the entrepreneurial spirit, is people want to be able to really decide for themselves where they're going, what they're doing, the time they're doing it in, and just be able to have the flexibility that comes with that, right?
The freedom is huge. It's definitely probably one of the most common answers for why people choose entrepreneurship.
It for sure is. Yeah. And it's interesting that now today, you know, you used to get that a lot from more of like the creative free spirit people, right? And anymore, it's just becoming so widespread. I think we've been in this mindset for so many generations that it's, you know, kind of that traditional get a job, work hard, and then enjoy life later. But I love this kind of paradigm shift of the new generations where it's like, no, we are not going to settle for that. And I think you fit into that perfectly. So kudos to you for changing kind of the way the rest of the world thinks a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I think of it of like, is it a generational thing or an opportunity thing? And probably a little bit of both. But on the opportunity side, it's like without online marketing, so many of these businesses couldn't exist because when it was just local businesses, it's like you have to make a business based around like, these are your clients. Can't change it. You can't like change your targeting. You can't like scale. Like if you're doing a brick and mortar, like this is, you have to design it for what the town needs. If the town needs an auto mechanic, that's what you do, right? Like you have to design it a little bit more in that aspect. But now it's like, if you want to make like your art and put it online, like you can do it. Like you might not have been able to do that in your 30,000 person small town selling your art on the corner or even in one of those art stores, you know, antique stores, but you could now do it now that everyone in the world is a possible client. A lot of businesses became possible.
Yes. Oh, great insights. I love that. So Derek, tell me about one of the major obstacles that you've had to overcome as an entrepreneur and what you learned through that experience.
I'm thinking of like a couple different ways that I can go with it here. What do you think would be the most valuable in terms of like a mindset thing that I had to get over, or more of like a tactical thing for when like my online marketing started working?
I think either are very valuable. And I would go with what speaks more to you today?
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with, we'll go with the mindset, and we can go into the tactical after if you want to. But I mean, the mindset has to be taken care of. And I think it's like one of the tips where it's like, I don't want one of these tips, but it's like, you know, really everyone could use a mindset level up at all times. But it was really after I had done so many sales contests in my job and gone out and really never like hit the goals, like for years, I just like kept missing the goal. Like they had this one contest where you have to sell $10,000 in a 2-week period. And I failed it like 5 or 6 times. And I just kind of started writing it off as like, it's not even possible. And one time, like my 6th attempt to it, I got to basically like 9,000 of the $10,000 with like 2 hours left or something like that. And then I like threw in the towel, like, all right, failed again, like came up 1,000 short. And my boss just encouraged me. He's like, you still have 2 hours. What are you doing? I was like, what do you mean like 2 hours? Like, what am I going to do? Like just start door knocking in the area. Like, what am I supposed to do? And he's just like, call these people and do this and do that and do that. And just like do everything you can. And I sat down and I probably made like 45 calls, and not until like one of the last people did I finally get someone to pick up. And she's just, it was someone that I had done a sales appointment with like 6 months before that. She bought a big order, but her card had declined actually. And I called her, I was like, hey, like, do you have the money now? And she's like, I do. And like, I couldn't believe it. And it went through, and it was the never give up cliche is such a cliche until it plays out for you. And once it plays out, it really makes you unlock a new level of like seeing control in your life, where you're just like, I didn't give up to the last minute. And I could tell that like, it was really testing me to make, you know, the universe or whatever you want to call it, like was really just like, unless you really see this through to the end, like, you know, I was already giving up because it was 2 hours before. I was starting to rule myself out from goals before they were done, and starting to, let's just start to, you know, accept my defeat now and accept it and, you know, start to come to terms with it rather than actually never giving up to that last minute. And even if I would have gone to the last minute, it didn't work, it would still be, you know, you'd leave with no regret. So I really adapt the mindset of like, even if I wouldn't have hit it there, like I'm still going to make all those 45 calls in the future and like really do everything I can until that last moment. And I actually hit that sales contest 11 more times in a row after that without fail. So I never missed it after that, because once your mindset just gets past that blockage, it doesn't return after. So I was just like just chasing bigger numbers and just, you know, hitting the 10,000 by default. But it was just like, once you just get past it, it just, you know, your mindset just knows that it can do it after that.
Right. Oh, okay. There's a bunch of things I want to unpack here. So, I mean, the first off, right, it's kind of like that 4-minute mile, right? And we hear that a lot, but really, yeah, you're right. It's like, once you achieve it, you see that it's not impossible to achieve, and then it's easier to achieve in the future. So I love that. But I also, the idea of never giving up, you're right, it's so cliche, but, and I think it is because it's so true. And I love the, you know, the point that you make, that until you actually see it for yourself in your own experience, it doesn't become impactful to you until you can personally experience it and kind of blow past that glass ceiling, as they say. So I love exactly. That idea. So would you say in this experience, you know, I love that you kind of grasped that idea and kind of just blew past your own barriers in the future, but how in this experience, and maybe in kind of your entire entrepreneurial experience, and maybe even in life in general, would you say that, you know, the support that you had behind you, pushing you forward and maybe opening your mind to what could be possible, played a big impact in that?
I'm so glad you asked about this, actually, because this is a new teaching topic that I've been wanting to come out with on my own show, but I haven't come out with yet. So as far as support system goes, I have a situation that I think a lot of people are in, where they have like a supportive family that doesn't know how to support an entrepreneur. They believe in them, but they don't really like believe in them actually, like to the point where if my business loses a ton of money, I get sued, blah, 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 everything, shit hits the fan. You don't say, oh, we'll get the resume ready and go apply jobs. Like there's no, there's still, they entertain the idea of quitting still. So I actually had like my parents, like every single day that I'd have like more than three no sales in a row. So like, oh, it's the economy. And like, you know, the stocks are down and gas prices are up. And that's why people aren't buying. And, you know, there's so many jobs out there. And like my mom, like they're so supportive and so loving, but it was still like, I realized that if I was going to remain committed to the job, that I could no longer talk to my parents about my bad days. And it made it really frustrating for a while, actually, because if I had a really good sales day, I'd call and let them know. And they'd, oh my God, like, so you're good. You can pay rent. I'm like, yes, I can pay rent like every month. Like sometimes it just happens on like the last day that I get the sale, you know, but don't tell me to quit. And I was just like, I know I need to be doing this right now. Like, I know that I went to college for other things and you were planning on me like getting this whatever job after. And I'm still like selling like Cutco. I sold Cutco knives for 7.5 years. If you've heard of it, it's like this college opportunity that everyone's like been recruited to, like no one even shows up to the interview for. And she's just like, one time I remember my dad like actually finally gave me the right answer one time when I said like I had a bad sales day, and he's like, well, make more phone calls. And I said, yes, that is exactly what I need to do, Dad. I don't need to think about anything else apart from I need to make more phone calls and go fix this problem and go get more sales, because like not having a bad sales day does not at all mean find new job. And it just, so really my thing with support system is, I think in hindsight, there are things that I could have said to maybe get my parents on my side. But I was like, I was 21 starting this job. Like you can't like expect to just have like the most mature thing to say, you know, when you're younger, to like get your parents on your side. And even then you can say everything perfectly and you can't still expect them to just get it to then be the support system that you actually need from there. I think when it comes down to choosing your life partner, that person does have to be that support system for you. And you need to be able to get them on board. Cause if that person's not on board, then it's, you know, then you feel like completely alone. But otherwise, where it comes down to like family and even like some friends, if they're not on your side, you need to be able to hit your goals without support, is what it really comes down to. Support is just a plus if you get it, but if you don't need it, it's just a big plus. But they'll support you eventually. But if they don't at the beginning, and you know it's what you should be doing, I think you'd be strapped to find very many entrepreneur stories where they had their full family and friends support with them the entire way. They mostly had a large period of having very little support and did it anyways. So that will likely have to be your journey.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you're right. I mean, we don't always get the support where we want, really want it. And, you know, I guess we always kind of advocate that if you aren't getting it from your personal life, perhaps look in other areas where you can get it, just like the manager that you talked about in your story, how he kind of helped guide you. You know, are there networks that can maybe bring that support in for you? But I agree. Sometimes we don't always have the backing of our family, our close friends, our loved ones. But,
and that's true. I did get it from him. So I guess it's hard to say, like, you don't need any, like, it's so hard to say that because I can still find so many people that help me along the way. I think it is definitely pretty hard to do it by yourself, or even I'd be like reading a book, you know, it's like, I didn't do it by myself. So I guess it's just, you have to be selective of your support. You can't just be like, parents is it, you know, it's like, if you're not getting it from them, you do have to, you know, pick and choose of like which conversations, like which days you call them on at the end of the day, if you know how that conversation might go and it's not what you need at that moment.
Exactly. Great insights. Thank you. Okay. So let's kind of jump a little bit forward and, you know, kind of looking back at where you've been, you know, once you started, the journey you've gone through and kind of where you are now. Is there anything that you would have done differently in that journey?
You know, of course, like I can look back at like, oh, I have my working offer now. Like I wish I had my working offer at the beginning before I had to like make all the things that it, like It's like, it's really weird because I've thought of the question before, like hypothetically, like if you could have a time machine or whatever, could you do it? It's like, if I could go back and change it, but like still have the lessons, then maybe, but like, if I would have to then get rid of the lessons, then no, because then I wouldn't have podcast material. So like all the failures, I mean, once you get used to it, it really is just like, you never comprehend like the definition of failure as such. Like, I really wish there was another word for it because it just seems like silly to even call it that. But I mean, even now, like my coaching program offer is like so much, there's a lot of digital material, even like from my first couple offers that is like kind of sprinkled in there a little bit that has just kind of been repackaged. So like all of it has been like moving parts that I needed to make to then, you know, eventually configure into this and gaining the skill sets along the way. But I would say probably the only thing that I would really say that I've wasted a lot of time on, would be like throughout my 20s, I think like any failed relationship I'd have, whether it be friends or more particularly with girls, you know, I probably spent a little bit too much time thinking about how that process should have been different and, you know, regretting that a little bit more. And then the next person comes along and I'm like, why did I spend like all these months being sad about that person? Like I could have gotten so much work done. All right. Each relationship you have, you usually like them a little bit more. You find someone a little bit more compatible for you. So then I stopped getting on myself. So honestly, that's really like, if I would look back at like wasted time, otherwise all the entrepreneurship failure doesn't feel like wasted time. That felt like more like wasted time to me.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess my takeaway would be, you know, I guess as you're enjoying the journey, learn from the lessons and look forward to the next lesson along the way.
Yeah.
That'd be fair to say.
Yep.
Love it. Perfect. Okay. So you've given us some great advice and I've loved hearing about your journey and I want to make sure I give you time to kind of, you know, tell our audience everything that you're working on today. But if you kind of think about all that you've been through and what you've learned, you know, is there any one other particular advice that you would love to give our listeners that can help them on their journey?
I would say that everything is hard before it's easy. With the question that you're asking me there, like, is there anything I would do differently? I think now looking back, it looks so easy, although it's so hard during the process. Like business is such a simple thing when it works, when you have a working offer, traffic and traffic source and sales process, then it all of a sudden works. But until you find out that combination of essentially those three things is really what online businesses, the traffic leading to the sales process leading to the offer, like with one of them off, it doesn't work. So like once you find the three things, then hindsight's always 20/20. It looks so easy, but it's just going to look so hard while you're in it. So a lot of it's just really understanding that if it's really difficult to you, like it's normal. If you feel like you don't have a lot of the skill sets that are needed for online marketing, neither did anyone else, you know, like they're all gainable. And you do have to be patient with it. I think Gary Vaynerchuk says it really well, where he says like aggressive patience is necessary. And that's really, I believe what I've had of like, I will work every day and like work, you know, not every single day, but honestly, probably like I do something every single day, like even on an off day, I'm like, well, I'll do like email checking or check some stats or like something, you know, but like just consistent action for a very long time. But then also kind of knowing like, if this takes 2 years, cool. If it takes five, it takes 10, doesn't really matter. Like if it's really that important to, then why would it matter how much time it would take? And I think a lot of people, I work with a lot of new businesses and they're like, so how long is this going to take? Like a month or two? And I'm like, it might, maybe like if I look at your business and it looks like ready to like run ads immediately, but usually I get in there and we need to fix your website for the next month. And then we need to fix your email, like so many other things for the next month or two. Like there's a lot to it. There's just so much, there's a lot of skills. And if you really want it, it's just a matter of time before you get there, but just make sure you're starting an online business that you're actually like passionate about the market and like what you're doing. Otherwise, just know that it likely will take you a few years. So if you're just trying to be like, I heard that like makeup, there's really good profit margins. Like I don't care about makeup. I just want to like buy it and sell it It's just going to be very hard to wake up and do that business every day for years. So just know there's very little quick money opportunities out there unless you catch a trend before it turns into coursework, right? Before all the marketers turn it into coursework is the only, so that's why you're not going to catch a trend off of a course, right? So it's just like, yeah, you just got to make sure that you're doing it for the right reasons and then it's totally worth it.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, great reminder, making sure that, yeah, you have a passion and you enjoy doing it to keep doing it. Because yeah, you're right. It's a roller coaster ride and it's not always going up. So loving what you do every day makes a big difference in that. And just the reminder that it is a patience game and to give ourselves grace along the way and just keep forging forward. I love that reminder. Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, so you've talked a lot about kind of your working offer right now. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about Social Bamboo, what you're working on, and if you have anything to offer our audience today?
Yeah, so I'll explain it just from the standpoint of like how the business works too, just because I know a lot of you are prospective business owners, because this is, like I was saying, it's so simple, like once you find out that it's working, because I used to actually sell way more different products. And I used to have a lot of different angles. I was on more social media marketing platforms a year ago. I had more employees. I was super spread thin until I really found out, you know, what's the simple model of my business. So essentially, Social Bamboo is mostly a podcast and YouTube for the traffic source. And then as far as what I help people with is I have a very structured social media giveaway strategy where it's not like a lot of the social media giveaways that you see out there where it's like tag three friends and, you know, share this to your story and stuff like that, or, you know, doing some influencer loop giveaway where it's like follow these 20 people to enter. Like most of the Instagram giveaways you're going to see are like run totally wrong, like wrong in a way that will actually kind of hurt an account. But what I basically teach businesses to do is how to run a giveaway that is a way that gains them really targeted customers. And it's just a really easy way to run their very first Instagram ad campaign. So now, like, as far as my niche, I think like choosing a niche is something that a lot of people say that you have to do in business, and it's really accurate. The thing that I was doing for years that was wrong was I was trying to niche down my audience rather than niche down my offer. So I was trying to be like, what specific entrepreneurs do I help? And I kept being like most of them, like I really could help most. And it like was hard to narrow it down. But then I realized I'm just going to help people run their first Instagram ad campaign. So now I just help a wide array of businesses, but with a very specific problem at a very specific time. And I do so with just a video course for them to follow to get exact setup instructions, and then just a weekly call just to make sure it's implemented correctly so that, you know, once a week I look over everything that they've done and whatever. So now I just sell that one offer and that's it. So I just come out with free material and then people book into that program, and it's like a monthly subscription thing. But that's just how Social Bamboo is now leaned out.
I love that. Yeah. Like you said earlier, you kind of went through this journey, and like so many of us, when we start, we think we have to do all the things, right? And we got to be everywhere, omnipresent, right? And that through that process, you found the way to simplify it and really make it work for you. And I think that is a really great lesson for everyone, is just, you know, finding what works for you personally, because we're all on a different journey. We all have different passions and we all have a different destination. So knowing what your why is, right? Why are you doing what you're doing, and what is your end goal? And knowing that what you're doing is not the same thing that someone else may be doing. It doesn't have to be, to make it unique to you. So I love that you learned that along the way and shifted to make that happen for you. And I love the simplicity of that. I think we all could learn a little bit from making it simple.
And getting to that simple point, it usually takes so much testing before you even know like how to refine it. So, and that's why you can't beat yourself up along the way, because it won't look like a working business, like in the process when you're just like writing all these ideas down and like scrapping the pieces of paper and throwing them across the room. But really you look back, you know, I smile when you ask the question about, would you do anything differently? I'm like, every one of those mistakes was necessary for like refinement though, in order to get it down to whatever is simple for you in the end.
Oh, I love that. That is so true. It's like those lessons I think are completely priceless. And yeah, and I think, you know, the resiliency that comes into entrepreneurship applies each and every day, just to pick ourselves up and keep plowing forward. And like you said, eventually everything will fall into place and line up and work beautifully. Oh, what a wonderful. Okay. Well, you know what? Our time is running short, but I love this conversation. I want to make sure that our audience, you know, make sure you go check out socialbamboo.com. Check out what Derek's got going on, his freebies, his podcast. You can access his podcast there. He's got some great episodes on his journey, what he's teaching, and just his life and kind of his journey along the way. He shares a lot there too. So make sure you check that out. And Derek, we are so glad you joined us today. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. You said it right. Socialbamboo.com. There's a free course that I just came out with that all of your listeners are free to grab as well. So that just came out on the website, or shoot me a DM if you have any questions from the interview, but been a pleasure being on the show today.
Yes, you as well. Thank you. And thanks for everybody for joining us on this podcast. We could not do this without you, and we're glad you're here. If you have any questions, any feedback, make sure you DM us as well. You can find us on our socials at Procenac, P-R-O-C-E-N-A-C. And definitely check out our website at procenac.com. Our podcast is there as well. We'd love to hear your feedback, and we're so glad that you were here with us today. Until next time, we wish you all the success possible in your entrepreneurial journey.